Let's read Acts chapter 2 again. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is powerful. That's how the Acts of the Apostles begins. If Acts chapter 2 would have been missing, there would be no Acts of the Apostles. I dare to say that Pentecost is the intended norm of Christianity. Do you hear me? That is God's intended pattern, intended norm. You cannot exclude it. If you exclude it, you come out of the fire into the fridge. And we are warm-blooded creatures. We get cold in the fridge and die in the fridge. Pentecost is the intended norm of Christianity. It started on the day of Pentecost when the fire of the Holy Spirit fell that set everything on fire and going for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just would like to pick out a couple of highlights. That's all I can do here this morning. But I trust you will be blessed as much as I am blessed with these truths. I am amazed that these things have eluded me for so long. How was it able that I overlooked them? First of all, I see connections. In Acts chapter 2, which I hadn't seen before. It says there, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. This morning, your head is going to become the landing strip for the Holy Spirit fire. He will land and he will never again take off. Tongues of fire. A tongue of fire fell on each one. Can you imagine now? Here is the tongue of fire. And the moment the tongue of fire landed, the tongue of fire connected with the tongue of flesh. And the next verse says, and they began to speak. And it doesn't say that they ever stopped. And they began to speak. Now, what is the connection? The connection is this. Heaven is connecting with earth. The Holy Spirit is connecting with the flesh. And the supernatural is connecting with the natural. God involves us in his plan of salvation for this world. The Trinity is involved. I call the Trinity the syndicate of salvation, resourced by omnipotence. And that glorious syndicate of salvation, resourced by omnipotence, has chosen to involve us. The Lord said, my spirit spirit on all flesh. Well, I qualify. I am flesh. Hallelujah. And this morning, when that fire lands, that tongue of fire lands, you will no more stutter, stumble. You will begin to speak, and no devil can ever stop you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, I somehow have come to see as something, I call it your personal bridge from earth to heaven and heaven to earth and earth to heaven and heaven to earth. It's heaven merging with earth. Holy Spirit merging with flesh. We are no more just Homo sapiens. We are a new species. We are the spirit-filled men and women of God. Hallelujah. Hey. Isn't that fantastic? This is the first connection. The tongue of fire connecting with the tongue of flesh. Hey. I like that. I like that. I feel it every time I take a microphone in my hand. I can feel it. And I only have one desire. I don't care for compliments. Compliments don't bother me. They go in here and out there. I don't want the first prize in preaching. I don't want to be known as the best preacher. But one thing I want, God knows, and my heart is burning. I want hell empty and heaven full. Last week I had a couple of interviews there with the secular press and TV in Germany. And always the same question. They see the picture of these huge crowds, 1.6 million people in one meeting. I don't think a rock star has ever made it. So they say to me, how do you feel? And besides it, you are German. Maybe an American, but German. We are the chosen frozen. How do you feel when you stand in front of such a crowd? Oh, I said, I'm no more nervous. I'm too old for that. But I've got a burden on my heart when I take that microphone. I tell you what it is that makes me shake every time. I say, oh, Lord, you have given me such a glorious privilege. Help me to preach the core of the gospel so clear that nobody will ever say before the throne of God one day, I couldn't understand Bunker. Jesus said, feed my lambs. He didn't say, feed my giraffes. Many preachers feed too high. It's always for the giraffes. And the little lambs die of starvation. Oh, God, help us! I don't want to impress people with rhetoric and ability and handstands. I want a mass break out of Egypt and a mass entrance into Canaan. And one day we will meet before the throne of God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
The tongue of fire is going to connect today with your tongue of flesh. If you agree with me, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The next connection. The next connection. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak in other languages. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit touched me. I saw something I never seen before. I mentioned that at the banquet. I thought by myself, wow. When the Holy Spirit fell and they began to speak, I would have been highly disappointed if it had said that they would have all spoken in Hebrew. If they all had just spoken in Hebrew, I would have said, what a pity. The Holy Spirit has only come for the Jews. And I happen to be a German. But that's not what happened. Read Acts 2. What did they speak? They began to speak in the languages of the world. This is to me the absolute proof of the ethnic interest of the Holy Spirit. All tongues, all tribes, all nations. Where is the connection? The connection here is with the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and in Mark 16:15. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature in every language with the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. Give him a hand. Oh, hallelujah. Everything fits. If the Holy Spirit touches your eyes, you see that everything perfectly fits. And we will fit in. If we submit to him, not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. Amen. I hear people, well, let me put it this way. The next thing is this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that the tongue of fire landed on every head. Say every. There were 120 heads. Somebody in heaven had counted all the heads and prepared a flame right there. And then the fire fell. The fire fell. One flame for every head. You know, I pray to God that we Christians may get away to just admire and uplift and magnify servants of God and say, that one is super anointed, that one is super anointed, that one is super anointed. I want a super anointing. This is rubbish. We are in the habit of lifting up people so high that they become dizzy up there and fall down. And then the whole world marvels and says, how can such a great man or great woman of God fall? How many are we here this morning? I have no idea. I don't know. Is it 1,000? Let me just say, for argument's sake, 1,500 or so. 1,500. On the day of Pentecost, 120 received out of 120. 10 out of 10. 1,500 out of 1,500. You see, this is not just for an elite species of Christians. There is no elite Christian species. This is nonsense. Just because my arm is above my leg doesn't mean that my arm is superior to my leg. Yes, it has a higher position, but it's not the position that counts, it's the function that counts. There is no things as a career in the kingdom of God. Get that out of your mind. Jesus said the opposite. The lowest is the highest. Today you will receive that tongue of fire which is second to none. Hallelujah. I want to illustrate that a little bit more. If you want to know anything about the nature of God, you must look into nature. And you find that God has created every leaf on the tree slightly different to the next one. Every blade of grass is somehow differently structured. There are 7 billion people in this world. I already include the pregnancies. There are 7 billion people in this world and not two of the same fingerprints. Why not? Because our God is not a duplicator. He is a creator. He has no photocopying machine made in Japan. He only works with originals. And I tell you, when he prepares that fire anointing for you, it is an original. And your flame bears your name. That's why I can't give you the bonky flame. If you got the bonky flame, you would become a copy of bonky. And if we had depended on copies, Christianity would have been lost long ago. I like five roses. But if there is one tea bag and you have got 100 cups, one tea bag, 100 cups, five roses, I promise you one, I only want to drink cup number one. Amen. You are an original. Today you will get something nobody else on earth ever got. Nobody can serve God exactly. exactly the way the Lord has enabled you to do. Do you understand? God hasn't got them a mass manufacturing of our belt for anointings. Even if some convention preachers say so. It's all original. Say, my flame has my name. Say, I desire the fire. Are you sure?
Yes.
Give a hand for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Today I will lay my hands on you, but not to give my fire to you. We are to pray for each other. I'm going to do that. And something fantastic is going to happen. But you won't get your flame from Bunky. When I lay my hands on you, you will get it from Jesus himself. He's the only giver, the only giver, the only giver. Say amen. Then some come back to me and they say, now what, Reinhard, tell me, what about Elijah's mantle? Can I have your mantle? Well, I'll tell you, I hope you don't want Elijah's mantle. Because then you would have to go 1900 years back, or 1,000 years you've got to go before Pentecost. I tell you, I believe in Elijah's mantle as long as we mean that Elijah is Jesus. Our Elijah is Jesus, and the mantle is the baptism into the Holy Spirit. That flame, you are going to receive it today. And when you take that mantle, and when you smite the river, you are not going to say, where is the God of Elijah? You will say, where is the God and Father of my Lord Jesus? And miracles will happen. Do you understand? Wave your hand and say, I understand. Oh, God bless you. You are such wonderful people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Next thing. I call Pentecost the incarnation of the Holy Spirit. No, not like Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He became flesh, the son of Mary, and the son of God. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, he clothed himself with the bodies, the flesh of 120 men and women, and announced his arrival through their throats. And Paul says, our bodies are his temples. The Holy Spirit cannot work in this world except through flesh, through us. He wants to use your lips. He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your voice. The Holy Spirit needs to pour himself through us into this world. Do you get the point? Temples for the Holy Spirit. I can give you the address, one address of Holy Spirit residence on earth. You want to know it? It's called Reinhard Bonnke. Now put in your name. Hallelujah. We are his residence on earth. Our bodies are his temples. He has clothed himself with us. He filled them, number one. Number two, he clothed them. He clothed them. Hey. I found in Judges 6, verse 34, the story of Gideon. I found a scripture. It says there that the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon. Actually, in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it says there the Holy Spirit wrapped himself around Gideon. Hey, I like that. He fills us in the New Testament and wraps himself around us. I like to think I am shrink wrapped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nigeria. I said to one young man, I said to him, when are you going to get saved? You need to get saved today. He said to me, it's pointless. For me, it's pointless. I had never heard such nonsense. I said, how can you say it's pointless? He said, well, if I get saved now and I go home, my mother is a witch doctor. My grandmother is a witch doctor. My great-grandmother is a witch doctor. He said, if I get saved and I get home, in 5 minutes, my Christianity will have disappeared. You know, when my mind hasn't got answers, I'm going just one level higher. We've got another level. I thought, what must I tell him? Suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Do you want to hear what I told him? I said to him, tell me, can a man live on the moon? He didn't know what to say, but I knew. So I told him, the answer is a double answer. It is no, and it is yes. It is no. If man goes the way he is, he will be dead long before he arrives. But the answer is yes if he goes in a space suit. Because the space suit is a replica of Earth's atmosphere. He has oxygen to breathe. More than that, the pressure is correct. And that spacesuit is to protect him from mini meteorites. American astronauts were already there and had a jolly good time. And I said to him, young man, if you receive Jesus as your Savior and you will descend to the very throne of Satan in the pit of hell with all its stink and foulness and rottenness, you right there will still breathe the pure air of the throne of God in the third heaven. Amen. That's why I'm not afraid of the devil. No. I have a feeling he is afraid of me. And I don't run away from the devil. I have a feeling he runs away from me. My goodness, I don't like when a pastor in the church opens the service by casting out devils. rebuking every devil under the sun to get out. I tell you what, I think such a pastor somehow hasn't got the right understanding of who Jesus is. I'll give you my reason. I think only the devil with the lowest intelligence would dare to come where Jesus meets with his children. If he has a little bit more brain, he would go as far away as possible because he's going to get lashed out at. Jesus is here. This is not the place where the devil will revel. No devil will revel in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Say amen.
Amen.
We have gathered unto him. Jesus doesn't gather to us, we gather unto him. Are you happy?
Amen.
Amen. When I come into a service, you know what my life changed? I used to pray for hours every day just to pray that the Lord may be with me when I step onto the platform. Until one day, I said to myself, here's something wrong. Very, very wrong. I pray half a day for Jesus to please be with me. And if he isn't with me, I wouldn't dare to get up on the platform. What nonsense. I think it's just someone who does that somehow isn't right in his mind. How can somebody right in his mind ask and plead with somebody to come who has said, I will never leave you? Tell me. If he never leaves you, you never need to ask him to come. He's here. He's here. No, I don't always feel him. That's where the problem comes. We don't always feel him. If I don't feel him, shall I give you my secret? You want to know? I don't feel the presence of Jesus. I just appropriate his presence by trust. I say, Lord, I don't feel you, but you are here. My feelings are lying to me, but you never lie, and you never leave, and you never forsake me. And then I act in his name, and things begin to happen. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Am I boring you?
No.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Next thing. I'm full of nexts. Some people say, I want that fire anointing. I want power of the Holy Spirit, but I feel so unworthy. The Holy Spirit is most holy, and I am not. That's how I grew up. I always, you know, I got baptized as a child, but I struggled very much because my mother, she was a German woman who brought us up, my goodness, with a stick. And we were six children, and I just happened to be the naughtiest. I was so naughty. My mother said sometimes when we sat at breakfast in the morning, she said, Reinhard, come here. I'll just give you your hiding now, and then it's done for the day. Naughty. What was my naughtiness? I don't know. I always had different opinions to mom. And moms don't like that. And then I said, Lord, I never qualify. I never qualify. I've got blue and black and green marks on my body from the whip. That is the ultimate proof. I don't qualify for the Most Holy Spirit. Listen, what I have learned in the meantime, do you want to know? If any one of us could make himself qualify to receive the Holy Spirit, then you would no more need the Holy Spirit. I found something more. The Holy Spirit, if we are washed in the blood of Jesus, that's the basis. If we are washed in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is not repelled by our weaknesses. Our weaknesses attract the Holy Spirit. Because Isaiah says he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Wow! Now I tell you why the Holy Spirit will come to you like a searing hot flame today. Not because you produce a qualification, but because you need him. Is there anybody who needs the Holy Spirit? I want you to shout from earth to heaven, I need the Holy Spirit! Again!
I need the Holy Spirit!
Again!
I need the Holy Spirit!
Hallelujah! That's why the Lord says, my spirit on all flesh. Flesh is notoriously weak. My spirit on all flesh, because the flesh needs the Holy Spirit and cannot function in the will of God without the Holy Spirit. Say amen. Hey, I have so much more, but my time is up. I pray that you're not just, listen, today you're going to receive your flame. I now prophesy to you. Today you're going to receive your flame. But the most anointed with the biggest flame is not automatically doing the will of God. A strong man can still be lazy. Hello. A powerful man can still be lazy. And many Christians receive that anointing, but they don't move. They don't move. They are falsely humble instead of opening their mouth. We can be anointed, but we can be lazy, and that's a big tragedy. I like the picture of a weightlifter. Let's say this is a huge auditorium, world championship in weightlifting. And here is now the champion to be. He lifts. Let me say, I'm not sure, quite sure of the different grades. He lifts now 1,000 pounds over his head and then drops it. Everybody says, look at that man. My goodness, he's got arms the size of my thighs. And then the strong man, with all the strength, he goes home. And he can lift 1,000 pounds over his head, but he will not lift a finger to help his wife in the kitchen. I'm not going to make here a personal confession. I hope I'm not that bad. Hey! In the natural, I think, you know, the couple can solve that problem. But when it comes to the spiritual, I say we don't want show people. We don't want show preachers. We even don't want to have show singers. We don't want to have show evangelists. Let's do the will of God. Let's preach the ABC of the gospel. Let's not compete with each other. Let's help each other. And cast out the devil out of Africa. Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.